From the headquarters of Swinnerton, this is the Modern Built Environment podcast, featuring exclusive interviews with world-class thought leaders, executives, and civic leaders committed to a better and more beautiful built environment. Established in 1888 and built on a foundation of integrity, trust, and collaboration, our history has prepared us for this moment. Possibility is limited only by our imagination. We know what tomorrow can bring because we've seen thousands of tomorrows and are prepared to shape what comes next. Pride of ownership, peace of mind. Our podcast is hosted by Tom DiOro of The Modern Architect at KZSU at Stanford University. Go to swinnerton.com/podcast.
For our guest today, please welcome William Hayward. Bill is the founder and CEO of Hayward Score, as well as the CEO and Chief Sustainability Officer of Hayward Lumber, an over 100-year-old California lumber and building material supplier. For more information, you can visit haywardscore.com. Again, haywardscore.com. Hello, Bill. It's always an honor and pleasure having you.
Hello, Tom. It's great to be here again. Thank you.
It's terrific seeing you again. Bill, we like to start our show off with something funny. If you, is there anything, even maybe on your way up, that you can recall that may have happened that you now reflect back on with a bit of sense of humor?
Just in the course of, like,
could it be
whole...
today, yesterday, last week, any even a situation, you know, work-wise that was, like, kind of humorous in hindsight?
I think one of the things that continues to be humorous for me is whenever I address a group of builders or architects and we talk about where air comes from, and you ask how many people have ever wondered if their homes impacted their health or their commercial environment, you get 70 or 80% of the people raise their hand. And then you ask, so when all the doors and windows are closed, where does the air you breathe come from? And lay people are very confused about that. They're like, well, from the house, from the building. And interestingly enough, which is where the humor comes in a way, when architects and builders answer the same question, they answer with an equal level of wonder about where air comes from. Because it's invisible, so we haven't thought about it. And so the real humor is that fresh air ventilation is innovation in the 21st century.
Outstanding. Yes, it is. Bill, what other, what inspired you to be so involved and committed and passionate with a purpose with Hayward Score?
Yeah, so I've always had a passion for making buildings better. Okay. I love buildings. And I became a building scientist. And then my wife and I got sick in a house. So this is a house that was built in 2001. We moved into it in 08. It wasn't an old house. And it's in Pebble Beach, California, so a foggy environment. And when we first moved in, we'd start to sneeze. And then we didn't feel well. And then we were just tired. I mean, really extremely tired. But we had a new baby. So who's not tired, right? Yes, so we blamed it on that. But as time passed, I literally was falling asleep at lunch. I would take a 2-hour nap. I would be asleep at 7 at night. I couldn't think clearly. I couldn't remember a 10-digit phone number long enough to dial it. My wife had started having difficulty getting pregnant. Our daughter was green stuff coming out of her nose. I mean, this was really emotional. I was so impacted, I believed I had a brain injury and thought I should sell my business. I mean, that's how
really
impacted.
Oh,
and it came on slowly. So finally, we got advice to test the house. We tested the house, and lo and behold, there was a tremendous amount of mold, not so much in the house, but in the crawl space. Now, the experts back in 08 said things like, yeah, it's in the crawl space, don't worry about it, you don't live there. Well, what we know today is that 40% of the air you breathe comes from the crawl space.
40%?
Yeah. So we were breathing it, and it was impacting our health, and my wife's a psychologist. She's a doctor. So once we understood that, we moved out, and that began an earnest research effort to truly understand how the built environment, both commercial and residential, change health in America. That was my watershed moment, right? I needed to know, and I needed to fix it for builders, and then fix it for the rest of the population that's suffering from indoor air quality.
Yeah, what's a timeline of that, if you can put an approximation of the years? Or a year.
Yes, we moved in that house in 08. We moved out August of 09. I can remember that night vividly. And then we were really quite sick. So it took us another year to start to recover and feel better and find a home that didn't have bad indoor air, and for me, an office space that didn't have bad indoor air. So then we started to think about healthy home, healthy schools, healthy buildings, mm-hmm. and office. That was important to me. And we built the Hayward Healthy Home Principles for both commercial and residential. That's continuous fresh air, properly sealed and insulated, less toxic materials, because there's no such thing as non-toxic, cleanable surfaces, and then most recently, healthy home or healthy building habits. Now, how did we get from there, right? We realized through EPA research and our own research team, which was now three large, that half the homes and commercial spaces and schools in America were impacting people's health at a relatively high degree. That's kind of a stunning number, right?
Half?
Half.
Really? Wow.
Right. For me, I ran a lumber and building material company up in the state of California for 27 years. I'm an industry insider. This shouldn't have been something that wasn't on my radar screen. And it was firmly on it. So we thought, well, when you tap consumer demand, as LEED has, as other tools have, when consumers start to get excited about it, in the way that the J.D. Power safety score for cars got people excited about what they're going to buy, oh, no way, I'm not buying a minivan to put my kids in with a safety score of a 4.5. I want a 9. So we created the Hayward score as a tool to give a number to the health impact of a building and provide consumers an ability to focus on it and educate consumers about it. Because when consumers then see the issue, they start to change. Well, now, today, we've scored 70,000 residential homes. So that means somebody went online. Yeah. They spent 10 minutes. They answered 50 questions, give or take. We calculate the climate they're in, how the building's built, indoor and outdoor pollutants, behaviors, and we track 23 medical symptoms. Because of that, we now have the largest study on the indoor environment and health symptoms ever completed. And it is stunning. It has revealed the magnitude of this tool has revealed the truth about health and the built environment. We can now see in which conditions reported depression increases by 200%. We can see how when buildings have bad maintenance, they are significantly three times as impactful than really good maintenance. And we see just last week, Joe Allen at Harvard at the T.H. Chan School for Public Health came out and said, you know, your building manager may have more influence on your health than your physician because you spend so much time in your building and what you're breathing in your building truly weighs on your health.
What does that do to you and your company to know that the building manager has that much of an impact or can have as much of an impact? Well, does it shift, you know, like, does it really fire up everything or?
Totally.
Yeah.
So with my Hayward lumber hat on, it hit me as I thought about all of these commercial buildings I'd been in and lumber yards. It's kind of a grouchy group behind the counter. Could it be the chemicals weighing on them? So I measured them. Sure enough, they were high. So we adopted the Harvard cognitive study numbers, which suggests 40 CFM per person in a commercial environment. And we put that kind of ventilation into our stores. And after that, you saw a change in energy. You saw a change in focus. But my favorite story, talk about funny. I'm talking to the manager, and this is in a, you know, 10,000 square foot hardware store, right? And I said, we're in a family event with his wife. I said, so Willie, what's it like now that you have fresh air in the office? And his wife says, Bill, after you put that in, I accused him of going out on me. I'm like, what? How could that possible? She says, well, when he came home, he didn't smell the same.
Ah, okay.
Right? Yeah. So as an employer, what hit me was the environment I'm creating every day, they're taking home at night, sleeping with, right? And so then you look at the Harvard Cognitive Study, which looked at these environments in a commercial building with the right kind of fresh air, so low CO2, low particles, and low VOCs. And they saw that cognition improved in New York between 60 and 260%, which is stunning, right?
Oh, beyond
they
stunning.
Measured for the commercial environment that they could see a consistent 12% increase in productivity of the folks working inside the environment. And using Fitbits, they found that people in the fresh air environments went on to sleep 20% better at night. So you ask me what it means. It means that as an employer, we really affect them. And in fact, the building environment has a huge impact on 21st century health.
I should be talking right now, but I'm totally stunned. The built environment obviously is vital to them.
Vital. Yeah. And given what we know now, the built environment as we build it today, is no longer technically acceptable for our 21st century health and wellness needs. Or is it technically acceptable for our productivity needs?
That's a massive shift. I can understand now. Was it Harvard that had the study that the building manager? So in effect, those in charge of the built environment have just as much, if not more, of a positive impact on the health of people than physicians. Am I reaching or no? There's some.
Yes. That's in essence what Joe suggests, right? So how does that work? There's a really thoughtful and famous indoor air researcher called Richard Corsi, and he wrote the Corsi Code, which says for 79-year life expectancy, we spend 69 years indoors.
Uh-huh.
26 years in bed, 6.6 in the car, right? It goes on. But it's really about time in the seat. We think that today we understand that environmental exposures are the biggest impact on health and wellness. Genetics are 7 or 8%, right? So environment, that's out there. No, it's not out there because we spend 90% of our time indoors. The delivery vehicle for environmental pollutants is in the house, in the workspace, across 26, 30, 40, 50 years, right? So if you're breathing bad air that's either polluted from the chemicals in the building, or the building's concentrating outdoor pollutants, or it has a damp wetness problem, or everybody's coming in with heavy body lotions and other pollutants, right? It's all creating a soup. That is impacting you more than anything else.
What sort of challenges have you, keep general, but challenges that you've experienced with those builders, architects, engineers in understanding this, or at least to become aware of it?
You know, I've spoken now to maybe 2,000 architects and 2,000 builders, and I think people get it.
Okay.
The biggest challenge, so you'll listen to people, they'll start to transform. So, oh my goodness, that's really quite important. But then they go back home with the knowledge, which is new knowledge to the industry in general, and they start to implement it, and the traditional building process, design process, doesn't want to change course. It's got a way of doing things. Everybody gets paid for doing it the way that we traditionally do it, right? It goes through the process. And when you add these new ideas, it disrupts the process. And so to actually implement it, if you're the head of the firm, you actually have to take a strong position and say, guys, we are doing this, and this, I need this concept implemented.
So excellent.
So to your point, the where it gets implemented, you see really famous, I won't mention names, dot-com companies in the Bay Area where the CEO looks at that and says, wait a minute, if I implement a fresh air strategy in this building, I can get a 12% improvement in productivity. Cognitive capacity goes up. Doing it. Done. And there are multiple forward-thinking companies, not just Hayward Lumber, in the Bay Area and around the country that have been implementing these fresh air strategies. We recently got to talk to the military up north, and amongst the special forces, they're starting to look at this and say, how can we use these tools to enhance the performance of our teams, right? Cognitive capacity in the 21st century. We need to build cognitive capacity.
This is excellent. You're listening to the Modern Built Environment podcast brought to you by Swinerton. We're talking today with Bill Hayward, CEO of Hayward Score, as well as the CEO and Chief Sustainability Officer of Hayward Lumber. For more information, you're welcome to visit haywardscore.com. Again, it's haywardscore.com. Bill, in addition to a number of firms accepting the indoor air quality is vital, what else can you do or do you do to minimize kind of the cost of the chaos of that shift or change, if there even is a chaos? I might be reaching, that's too much of a word, but just the change, just that shift in mindset to go, okay, this is what we need to do to implement so that we not just have greater productivity, but it's actually, I mean, you can quantify the value and lower health claims. I can probably go on for it. How do you kind of minimize that with them so that they have a better understanding and understand the value of it?
So we try to demystify the whole idea, keep it simple.
Okay.
When a builder's trying to do it for the first time, it does cost a little bit more. But the second, third, and fourth time, they own it. They know how to do it. Now, the paybacks are high, right? And it's not just fresh air, I want to point out. It's also, you're seeing electrochromatic glass in buildings now. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing it productivity go up with visual comfort. So when you make these buildings with the right quality fresh air, and now with the right quality, you can make them very airtight. So now there's soundproof, right? You have a lower stressor from outdoor sound and lower stressors from electrochromatic glass that takes the glare away. So now these buildings are reducing overall stress on the occupant and allowing them to be their best self. But to your point, a building team has to tackle it. Now, is that foreign? No. Lots of LEED buildings are being built today. Mm-hmm. Those first LEED buildings cost more. Once they figured it out, they cost equal. But the performance that they're getting out of these buildings that are taken to the high levels of health, that's the real difference.
Yeah. Can you provide a couple of examples? You don't have to name names, but companies that you've worked with or educational facilities that you may have worked with and how it was at the beginning and then how it got better?
Yeah, I can mention one for sure.
Sure.
We worked with the Stevenson School in Carmel, and they had two buildings side by side that were built in the 60s, and they needed to retrofit one. So we proposed this around healthy schools, which are similar to the studies in Europe, and they implemented fresh air strategies. They did the right kind of wall systems for the climate, and the year after, they saw 600 sick days in the retrofit building and 900 sick days in the non-retrofit building. That's a stunning change.
That's enormous.
Yeah.
What was their response?
They thought it was great.
They thought it was great, yeah. Did they embellish a bit? Like, you know, this, we're going to be doing this and that. And you know, what's the response that you've heard that's the most positively glaring from a healthier building?
I think maybe the most positive I have seen is the way that the Defense Language Institute is looking at this. They were looking at dorms, which across the country, college dorms have bad air quality problems. And parents spend a fortune, right, to get good grades for their kids. And they have objectives to increase the number of kids they graduate at high levels of language skills. And they've done a bunch of things, the traditional things. And after reviewing the Harvard information and studying it inside my own house, they think the next best thing they can do to improve learning outcomes for their classes is to change the fresh air environments. Mm. Right? They got it immediately. They had an objective and they needed to hit it and they knew what it cost them and they executed, which is what I believe most corporations that implement these ideas do it the same way. And it's usually decided at the level of CEO, not the building manager. Yeah. The building manager's still trying to worry about maintenance costs.
How do you reach out in addition to public forums, media? How else are you getting the message out?
So our primary focus is through the Hayward Score.
Okay.
We advertise that across the country and it's growing quickly. Our next step is to start to use the Hayward Score with different institutional customers who want to understand the impacts of their buildings and homes and upgrade them. So the military is a group today, as you may know from the news. They recognize that this is housing, but they also recognize that for commercial buildings, housing is impacting U.S. military readiness. Now, in the general population, we call that productivity. In the military population, we call it readiness. It's a subject of senatorial hearings. It is a major issue. And so I bring that up because it's sort of the first major declaration nationally that building health is affecting America. The next will follow when corporate America realizes how much they can do to improve indoor environments and improve productivity and sick days and quality of life.
What's interesting is that you pointed out that the federal government has a little more of an interest and a readiness to respond to this more so than even the commercial. Well, why is that, either your experience or your opinion?
So they pay the health care bill. So it's not two different groups. They pay for the housing and they pay for the health care bill. So it all rolls up to Uncle Sam. They see the health costs. They see the impacts on readiness. They can't afford not to be ready, nor do we as Americans not want them to be ready. So it becomes a direct drive. Like, hey, we have a readiness problem. We need to fix it. Housing's in the way. Let's get housing fixed. It's not the big debate of, well, the insurance company pays for it over here. I own the building. Now, corporations that are paying for health care for their employees, now that they get that, right? But it's new. The research in terms of true healthcare impacts are new. If you know research in healthcare impacts and housing, usually there's 100 homes in the study, maybe 200 homes in the study. There's never been 60,000, going on 70,000, okay, soon to be 100,000. So the way Hayward Score brings data to the table now is a game changer.
Yeah. Did you understand that at the very beginning, or is it something you kind of learned in the process that the getting those statistics were going to be vital?
Well, we believed it would be vital. Right? We believed that we would truly reveal the truth. But back when we were calling friends and family and say, I need one more score, we're up to 50.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah. In the beginning, it was friends and family. And then it started to spread and the data became super interesting. We have a full-time team of two just focused on the data processing.
What's that been like just from going to the friends and family to... it's becoming almost an institution.
Yeah, it's really exciting.
Yeah.
And we went from, you know, when we were 10,000 or 20,000, we talked to medical research groups. They knew what we were doing, and it's just, that's interesting. We hit 50,000, and we started to show the data, and I said, wow, that's an amazing study. Wow, we should be looking to you to help us study some of these issues and
no
to identify... identify trends and correlations where we can then fund significant studies to go deeper into it, because we can act so quickly and generate research so quickly.
Now, how's this gonna make you feel great to know that you wake up every? I mean, do you ever, are you able to turn it off?
Not so much.
Okay, really? No, really.
I kind of eat and think and live it all the time. Every building I walk into, every event I notice.
Really?
But that's because I got sick, I had to really think like air and humidity, and I live in a place where I can see the fog, right? Yeah. So all my life I've said, well, that's interesting. So the phenomena became live in my head, and we have three subject matter experts. As we each time look at the different phenomena of the latest building science, we then incorporate it into the Hayward Score. I'll give you an example of the latest building science. This is indoor chem was funded by the Alfred E. Sloan Foundation for $50 million, followed on the microbiome and the built environment, which was the first group. And they studied everything that happens in a building during daily living. And now we understand that when the indoor environment is full of a constant chemical reaction, ozone descends into the room. It causes different chemical reactions. Carcinogens to be released. This is just outdoor ozone. Additional formaldehyde out of the floor. The chemicals in the building hit the walls. The walls have tiny bits of water on it. Inside the droplets of water is aqueous chemistry. Two chemicals go in. They form something new. It comes out. So literally, the house, the walls are birthing new chemicals all the time. And in our 21st century environment, where we have flooded our environment with chemicals through the chemical industry, that aren't necessarily researched, these interactions are increasing. And so that's part of the reason why in the 21st century, fresh air has become much more important, is because we really live in buildings that are mostly made of chemicals, not just, you know, natural wood and natural stone. So our environment's changed, our personal care items have changed, and our needs to stay healthy and well have changed. And the home and the commercial building really become the foundation of 21st century wellness, maybe as important or more important than the corporate wellness program. And I think really you can't have a corporate wellness program without including the home where people live and the corporate environment.
You're listening to the Modern Built Environment podcast. We're with Bill Hayward, CEO of Hayward Score. Bill, you go back to that walls are birthing, did I get this correct? Walls are birthing new chemicals all the time.
You heard it correct.
No way.
Birthing. Literally, that's the terminology that they used from the indoor chem group. It's stunning, right? We didn't know these things because, A, we didn't have equipment that had the capacity to measure it. And so at the test house a summer and a half ago, the university brought in about $4.5 million worth of equipment that could measure almost anything. And that was the first time anybody had really done that at scale. And now the research is getting funded and we're seeing more and more about birthing new chemicals. Now, they were always happening, yeah, right? It's not that they weren't always happening. Yeah. We just didn't understand it.
Yeah. How about the equipment to measure it? Can you share with us some of the, you know, some of the equipment required or suggested to measure those pollutants and chemicals?
Yeah, you know, they there's all kinds of laser-based tools and small particle-based tools. They want to get down into even the microfine particles, which is sort of a new level of research. We're learning how to map the fungal environment at a much deeper level. There are libraries now at the University of Colorado, Boulder, that really map the fungal environment. So all these bits of research are coming together to form a body of research around the home as a system. Now, historical building to date is mostly about designing the building, optimizing its aesthetic beauty.
Sure, yes.
The optimizing of the indoor environment for health is an emerging field.
It's emerging, but it's always been an issue. It's just now you're aware of it, and obviously you're bringing great awareness to it. What's it like for you from say last year even to this year, just with Hayward Score? Just the impact of the people, the discoveries?
Yeah, so two answers to that. The body of knowledge of indoor environments probably doubled in the last year. I mean, that's how quickly it's moving. The number of Hayward Scores have doubled in the last year. Our research teams have taken a long time to dig into the data, correlate it, understand it. I mean, people haven't historically looked at this stuff.
No. Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing that became clear as a bell. Occupants, whether in commercial or residential, are very good at observing things. And it turns out they're very accurate when they observe. There's a bad odor.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
I'm concerned about this. Occupants don't necessarily know what that means. They don't understand it. But occupant observations, when correlated with health symptoms, are tremendously accurate. And the industry doesn't necessarily want to trust the occupant. Oh, you're just complaining about the janitorial closet smelling bad. Oh, your office is fine. I can't smell anything. Because, well, I can't smell, but you do, right? And you're getting headaches. So historically, we've tended not to pay attention to that. And the point I want to make is when occupants are telling you there's a problem in the building, your productivity is down. There is no question. And your morale is down. And when you find the root cause, not treat it with an air freshener, right? We joke about that. If the car engine's knocking and you have a red light, you know what to do, right? Yeah. When the car engine's knocking, you turn the radio up. Wrong answer.
Okay.
So when the smells are happening in the building and you add more air freshener, wrong answer. You're masking the problem and impacting the employee base, the occupants.
So actually an air freshener, again, has chemicals.
Right.
Unbelievable.
You're adding to the problem.
So go back again, Bill, to where almost every dwelling you go to, including our studio here, do you have a sense of the level of quality or lack of quality just because you're immersed in this so deeply?
I do.
Yes.
And it's interesting because if you've been impacted in the way that I was and then had to take care of your family, you're kind of on alert, which And for me, I'm very curious. I became a building scientist on my own, so I'm always looking for the next phenomena that might explain why this building is healthy or not. And it's still a bit of a search process in any building. Mm-hmm. It's a detective game to try to figure out what's impacting.
Yeah.
I mean, whose health are impacted don't regard it as a game. I don't either. Yeah. But it is a process of a thought process and a testing process, because unless you brought the $4.5 million worth of equipment in from the universities, mm-hmm. plus the university's grad students to operate it, you don't have the same tools on the daily level in commercial and residential environment to track down the problems. The tools that you have are barely accurate as compared to the occupant census, really? Which are infinitely accurate.
Wow. So the human element still trump?
Absolutely.
Wow. That's amazing. Even with all those, with all the apparatus. How about even when you go away and you're in a hotel? Do you still have a sense of... Oh, no, yeah. If our audience could see Billy, he's cringing.
So the idea of, to me, healthy hotels, first of all, I'm not alone in the level to which I react. About 20% of the population reacts at some level that's significant. I and my wife end up moving hotel rooms a third of the time.
No, really?
And there's a large population that do, right? So hotels would benefit by less moves. I usually go and take a picture of the air conditioning vent, which is full of mold, and I'd show it to the front desk. Oh, sir, I'm so sorry, we didn't. And then they put you in another one, and sometimes three moves. Or there's just been new construction, and I can't take a room that's just been finished in a year. But think about hotels, healthy hotels. We want to go recover, sleep well, have a nice time, right?
Hopefully.
And if you can hear all the noise outside in the hallway, not good. You can hear the trash truck, not good. So when you use the healthy home techniques, you create an airtight or peacefully quiet hotel room in which you sleep better, guests will come back. So we presented these ideas to the hotel industry, and there's real intrigue. Like, oh, you're right. These ideas could create a better, higher quality hotel room. And I can't wait to create the Hayward score for hotel rooms.
Yeah. How do you get beyond that intrigue? Just your experience, you know, to get that, because obviously you're here with us. We've known you for a while. It's of course you want healthy air in your home and wherever you go. How do you, additionally for hotels specifically, go beyond their intrigue to where it's mandatory? Is that maybe really hoping, or it seems to be, could be standard?
It would be interesting to be mandatory, but the U.S. code, commercial and residential, is mandatory, and it still doesn't get enforced completely.
Oh, right,
and we're in 2019, and we're still using the 2014 code in some parts of the country. So I think consumer demand is much more powerful.
Okay,
and when hotel owners say, "Wait a minute, I'm getting more guests, and my hotel is more full because of what I did." And a great example of that is the Orchard Garden Hotel in San Francisco. Fresh air vents, LEED certified, sustainable. They have extremely high occupancy because occupants keep returning. I'll tell you something that's important for commercial, restaurant, and hotel. When people go in a place that they don't feel good, they can't put their finger on it. They just know they didn't feel good. They're not like me, right? Yeah. So they say about a restaurant or a hotel or a lobby, I just didn't have fun there. I didn't feel good. My wife and I slept the whole time. Right? And they don't go back and they don't say why. I know this because we've studied it. Right? So when you change that as a commercial building owner, your occupancy goes up. Your use goes up. Now, with light, right, buildings that have put electrochromatic light in, they find that the public spaces get used two or three times more because they're not overheating and they're more pleasant to be in. But occupants are more in touch with, I'm sweating, as opposed to, I got a headache, and, well, maybe it's, I just didn't get enough sleep last night.
Something else. Yeah, now, restaurants have recently been putting, if you notice, the pass, where it's passed either hygienic or cleanliness, mm-hmm. which it's green. The state of California, I think, has its green. It says pass. And you look for them now. It's becoming more common to see a restaurant if they have it to where it is. Do you envision a day where, let's say, a hotel or a commercial facility will have, you know, that Hayward score at the front entrance or within the facility or establishment?
Yeah, I do. I envision a day when most facilities say I pass some kind of health standard that occupants believe in, right? So one of the challenges is, who's telling the truth? Okay. I see that little stamp up there, but what does it mean? Right? So building a standard that people believe in that then they can trust and look up when they go to book a hotel, go to book a airplane, or go to work. Now, you do hear people saying, particularly with some of the more famous companies in the Bay Area, I'm only going to work in one of those because they've made their environment better. Mm-hmm. Right? So now they're attracting the better people. I believe, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Bill, is there, it's always great having you, seeing you, of course, and honored that you're here. Is there anything that we may not have touched on that you'd like to share with the audience today?
You know, when I think about the commercial environment and creating a healthy indoor environment, typically the beauty of health, when you actually recognize there's an economic benefit, you automatically create a better indoor environment that's more energy efficient and fewer toxins. And so the power of health pays for the changes to the building.
Say that again.
The power of health, because you better cognition, mm-hmm. fewer sick days, 12% more productive, attracting better people. And when leaders recognize the compelling economic opportunities of healthy indoor environments, they know how to move resources to make it happen.
I love it. Bill, it's been an honor and a pleasure having you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Yes. Our guest today has been William Howard, or Bill. Bill is the founder and CEO of Hayward Score, as well as the CEO and Chief Sustainability Officer of Hayward Lumber, an over 100-year-old California lumber and building material supplier. For more information, feel free to visit haywardscore.com. Again, haywardscore.com. You've been listening to the Modern Built Environment podcast brought to you by Swinerton. Join us again next time when we welcome another leading architect, engineer, builder, manufacturer, or civic leader committed to building a better and more beautiful built environment for healthier cities, communities, and lives. I'm Tom Dior.
The Modern Built Environment podcast is recorded at the Swinerton headquarters and on location. The recording engineer is Stephen Blatton. The executive producer and host of the Modern Built Environment podcast is Tom Dioro. And we're all assisted by Mr. Eric Foster. This is the Modern Built Environment podcast by Swinerton.